Here's the news in 60 seconds from yumadailynews.com. It's Drowning Impact Awareness Month, and Yuma Fire has been informing the community on tips to stay safe. About every year, many of Arizona's drowning deaths involve flash floods. Learn to be more aware, yumadailynews.com. Unofficial results project Mayor Nichols the winner against Yuma Councilmember Karen Watts in the Arizona 2022 primaries. Votes for Mayor Nichols showed 6,708, while Councilmember Watts only shows 4,432. City Council still has to accept the votes. Read more about the Yuma election on the website. A murderer and drug dealer has been arrested by border agents after re-entry into the U.S. The 52-year-old man hid from the border agents in a bush before being caught. More info, yumadailynews.com. Yuma Fire over the year has been welcoming 12 newcomers to the department. 10 of the 12 babies were brought into Station 1 for photos. Look at the adorable photos on yumadailynews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to yumadailynews.com. I'm Kendra White.
Steady flow of monsoon moisture means more rain today through the weekend, and any one of these thunderstorms could produce heavy flooding rains in a short period of time. So do stay weather aware through the weekend. A few thunderstorms will develop as the afternoon heating kicks in, 103 the high today. A few afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow, 104, and a few thunderstorms Sunday as well, 104 the high Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, also in studio, Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, so some interesting things this morning, some interesting things all night long.
Every day. Every day, man. It doesn't stop.
There's always something new. So, yeah. You know, let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
How's the family doing?
Really well. You know, I've got a 2-month-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my granddaughter's here. She had no schedule to be here. They were on the way to the babysitter. She says, I want to be with Grandpa. And they ran over here, dropped her off. And I got to go out and see him for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
And sang to him a little song that I have been doing daily, to where as soon as he hears my voice in that, imprinted now, that song, he just starts moving his hands around, bicycling with his legs, and like, oh my God, something great's going to happen. Just he understands who
I am.
Are
you allowed to tell us what song, or is that?
No, yeah, it's a secret.
Okay. it's something from AC/DC or
no,
Led Zeppelin or something like that.
No, it's a... the name of its father and son by, what's the name? Cat Stevens.
All right.
An older song. Cat Stevens, very, very mild song, you know, ballad. And the rationale behind it is recognizable, mm-hmm. but you'd be surprised how well you can communicate.
I was just hoping it wasn't We Don't Need No Education.
No. Yeah.
So, but again, family's doing well and you're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is awesome, and
it's rich. It's rich, and I'll tell you, Edward is the most successful with assets and everything. Particularly the guy I know it's beyond belief what he's grown to, and he's called me and says, you're the richest guy I know, Russ. You know, and I live in a dirt lot in a motorhome,
and it's probably true, but
yes.
here again, you can have and you see people have used this adage over and over. You can see somebody who looks at a rose bush and goes, oh, look at all these thorns. It's awful.
Sure.
And you literally have somebody who looks at a dandelion growing up from the sidewalk and goes, oh, my gosh, look at that flower. That yellow flower is so pretty. It's all in your perspective. And so, look, let's talk turkey when it comes to inflation and budgeting.
You mean reality and turkey, same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the reality is, has inflation gone up?
Of course.
Okay. So if you look at a budget, and here I brought handwritten budgets. I tell you, I do this every month. You know, if you had that budget, has your entire budget gone up? And let's use the inflation number that was just released. What was inflation?
These are blank.
Yeah, I know. Okay. What was inflation?
9.7, I think.
No.
What was it?
It was 9.1. It came down to 8.5.
Oh, 8.5. Okay.
So
I'm talking, it
came down to 8.5, but I think I heard our president say it's zero, but that's a whole different story.
It is zero.
But if you say inflation is up 8.5 year over year for the month,
yeah.
Has your entire budget gone up 8.5%? No.
Your expenses?
The marginal, the variable expenses have. But if you bought a home on a 30-year fixed 2 years ago, has your mortgage payment gone up?
Fixed. Doesn't go up.
Doesn't matter. If you bought a car 2 years ago, does your payment go up?
No.
No. So we're talking about things like insurance, which has gone up a lot.
Correct.
Food.
Correct.
Gas.
Correct.
Potentially utility bills, things like that. Variable expenses that have gone up. So not that I want to downplay this at all, but here's the reason you do a budget. Is of your budget, and I'm going to ask you, Russ Clark, of your budget, what percentage do you believe of your monthly bills are affected by inflation?
God, it's less than half.
And so while you're kind of processing that.
I mean, I've never been asked that in that way. You know,
most people won't.
You got to start taking out, but it's definitely going to affect your electric bill because that is going up. It's going to affect your trash collection because that is going up.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't affect your now if you have rent, it's going to go up probably unless you
rent is up 30% in the last year.
Yeah,
that's Arizona wide.
It depends on your contract and whether you're locked in or not, but mortgages won't go up.
So to the person who really needs to look at this big picture and see what's going on the major media and inflation, look, let's do a budget.
That's amazing. Some people could have literally 100% of everything they do go up. They could.
They could.
And you know, you don't own a car, you don't own a house, and everything is rented or Uber or whatever you're doing. Everything could be 100% going up. And there's others that could be having less than half.
Yeah. So you could have somebody, like you say, 100% of their costs have gone up by 8 to 9%.
Sure.
And you have other people that might be 10 to 15% of their budget that's gone up. So here's the reason to do a full written budget. What is your housing expense? What is your utility expense? What is your food and gas and grocery? You know, all of this. And what's
vulnerable to increase?
Do you have a plan for savings? Because look, I don't care how much you make. I care how much you save because then you can go invest it. And no, I'm not saying save it, put it in a Folgers can, bury it in the backyard, or put it under the mattress. I'm saying save it and then go invest it somewhere so you can actually start making money on your money. But if you have a budget and you simply look at it, and if you had a budget month after month after month, would you already know that inflation was happening before you had to wait for these stats to be published?
Of course.
Okay. So it's not a shock to anybody who actually takes personal responsibility for their budget, right?
If people know how to use a budget, yes.
Okay. So if we look at this budget and you say, okay, we want to save 10% of our income, 10% of total income. I would like it to be more, but if you could save...
That's a big number, 10
if you
most.
Could save 10% of your income, and you said maybe half of your budget is vulnerable.
Right.
Okay. So half of your budget is 50%.
Right.
Now, what's 10% of 50%?
Oh.
5.
Yeah.
So you might have had your savings go from 10% of your income down to 5% of your income.
It depends on whether you pay yourself first, but okay.
But if you were one of those guys who forced yourself to have a 10% savings, would you, Russ Clark, be okay if your savings went from 10 to 5?
No, because I said it was 5, it was 10. If it's 10, it's 10.
But you wouldn't be in trouble. You would start to see it and start to make adjustments or changes and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
The problem is the person who's running it to zero and then inflation hits, they're in trouble.
Right. Most people won't think ahead enough.
Well, they don't. So, you know, my four rules here.
You have four rules?
I do. Here's my four
life,
rules.
Life, is that some? They had 10 commandments. You only have four rules?
Well, these are four rules of money as far as
I'm
concerned.
Okay, money, just money.
So, number one, the old rule used to be you bought a home that was how many times your annual income? Do you remember that?
1.5 to 2 or something. I don't know.
Three times.
Was it three?
Okay. Three times. So
I was in a different neighborhood. Starting in the 70s.
when you say three times, that's 33%. You hear mortgage lenders like me who have said this for decades. okay, your home should be 33 to no more than about 38% of your income. Well, 33% is one third of your income. That means your house is three times your income.
Annual income.
So you should have a house that's about three times your income, because then it should be affordable with all the other things that you have to do. Now, after you have your home, then what should you start working on? A savings, a nest egg, something for a what if. So you should have 6 months worth of bills off to an account that you don't touch. That's the hands off, unless the world is coming to an end.
That's your minimum balance.
You leave that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got 6 months worth of reserves off into an account. Third, fully fund all of your employment-sponsored retirement, or an IRA or a 401k, something like that. Fund your retirement, especially if you work for a company that does any kind of a 401k match.
Yeah, now, it's an automatic.
But you say automatic, Russ, but it pains me
to
say.
It's an automatic suggestion.
How many people come into my office that don't take advantage of their 401ks?
Because we don't want free money. I would like you not to give me free money.
Yeah, don't.
But that's what that is.
Even though the government sent everybody free money.
Yeah.
Okay, so max out your employment-sponsored or your own personal response retirement account. And then number four, pick a couple of mutual funds. Go see somebody like Tom Rush or George Davis or Adrian Elder. You know, let's sit down and let's see these guys and start investing somewhere else. So you've got your house, then you got your savings, then you got your 401k or IRA, and then you got a few other investments. And then guess what? When those four are all done, you go back up and you do it again.
That's actually a pretty good layout. I mean, four pretty much covers that financial end.
But
you got that figured out. You're going to do well.
So if you do those four things, and then now you go back up to box one, are we going to buy a rental property next? Or should we buy a bigger home and turn our old one into a rental property? Figure that one out. Mm-hmm. And then once that's done, then you got to go adjust box two. Why? Because now that your expenses have changed, we've got to go relook at what 6 months worth of savings is. Put
right.
6 months worth of savings. Make sure you're still fully funding your retirement. Then go put more money in stocks, bonds, something.
It all starts with the budget, though.
And do it again. Wow, that's why I brought you a blank budget.
I like it.
So I know your itchy trigger finger on the buttons over there. So let's take a break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Happy Friday, everyone. Money Talk. Derek Eggenberg, Russ Clark in studio, 8:17 on a gorgeous morning, a little humid. Great sunrise this morning.
I like it.
This is one.
We've had some humidity. You get rain, did you? Get rain? It was cool. Yeah. It was nice.
We got a lot of rain.
Drove my dog crazy. Like, what is that? What's hitting the house?
Right. Well, so the good news is, my roof is clean and all the pigeon poop has washed off the roof, so we get to reset for another year. So that's nice.
That is nice.
It's always the day after I wash my truck. So, I noticed you just never wash your car.
There's no limit to washing. You can wash it as often as you want.
Yeah, but my problem is I don't think it works every time. I think it's only the one or two times I do. So if you told me it would work every time, I actually might be out there washing my truck.
And I do
morning.
Let my car go natural more than most do, but yes.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah. Your car has gone natural.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So no deodorant, no washing. It's just natural. I like it.
No trims.
So, you talk about budgets and you talk about money rules, and let's just really sit down and say, okay, wait a minute. We got to have a better understanding of our own finances. Now, got a nice couple come in. We're going through all of their finances, and he's asking the questions, hey, I want a 15-year fixed because the interest rates are cheaper.
So they've already decided they know what they want. They don't even need your advice. That's nice.
That is, and that's where I have to say, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to be the fast food clerk at the register that says, would you like fries with that?
What?
I have to say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe you need something different. I said, okay, tell me why you want to do that. Now, this gentleman has VA eligibility, super cool, doesn't have to put any money down.
Right.
And he goes, well, I just want to get my house paid off way faster. Cool. Do you have money in the bank for your closing costs? And the answer is no.
No.
No, he and his wife don't have any money saved up. They don't have anything put away. So my question to him is, if a 30-year fixed is X and the 15-year fixed is 40% more, so you're going to go from $2,200 a month on your 30-year to almost $3,000 a month on your 15-year, and your current rent is $1,500 a month. So you pay $1,500 a month, you're going to go to $2,200 a month, but at $1,500 a month, you can't save any money. You guys literally have no money in the bank. How could you ever think you're going to make a $3,000 a month payment? And he was a little pissed.
Really?
Well, because now I just challenged his manhood in my office with his wife sitting there. And of course, his wife turned to him with, man, if looks could kill, ooh. I mean, remember, what's the comic book character with the laser eye?
Oh, Superman?
No.
Well, he's
well Superman
him.
Did it too, but...
Yeah. I don't know.
You know the one I'm talking about. Anyway, we'll come up with it. I'm drawing a blank right now. But if you sit down and say, wait a minute, $3,000 a month doesn't make any sense if you're paying $1,500 right now and you don't have a lot of money in the bank. Now,
where's the additional going to come from?
So that's the thing, is he feels like he could pay his home off earlier, but they don't show the discipline to do it. And all of this starts with just a little bit of discipline. So when we sat down, I said, look, can we have an honest discussion? And I asked permission. Like if I said, Russ, can I ask you some honest questions?
Yeah.
You get me the approval. Okay, cool. Now I could zing you a couple of times.
Sure.
But if you don't give me that approval, I'm out just a little bit.
I'm intrigued.
But, we looked at his bank statement and said, okay, look, here's what I see. Eating out, which is your choice. Don't care.
It's okay.
Movies. It's your choice. I don't care. Oh, look, here's ice cream. Here's coffee.
Pick your own lifestyle.
Here's Amazon. 7 days in a row, Amazon charges. Now, yeah. I'm sorry. You don't need to go on Amazon 7 days in a row. I know you love to see the mailman, the UPS guy, the FedEx guy dropping stuff off at your house. But do you need to do it over 7 days? No, you really don't. And look, I don't care what you spend your money on.
No.
But
is it fit the budget?
But should we slow down on some of these things to then do the house payment correctly?
But say, should we? It's a choice.
It is.
You either continue in this path, which is up to you. But if you're going to change, all this has to stop. And you go there.
Well, what I said is, here's your rent, $1,500 a month. Now, you have no money in the bank, which proves to me you're not saving any. You show me where you're going to cut $1,500 a month out of the budget for you and your wife right now. And if you can, on these two bank statements, because we as mortgage lenders have to ask for 2 months' bank statements, said, here's all of your bank statements with all of your income deposits. Find me $1,500 of savings. And Mrs., you tell Mr. what you're going to cut. Mr., you tell Mrs. what you're going to cut. And if you guys can save $1,501, I will 100% put you in that 15-year fixed right now.
There you go. That's a good suggestion.
And I got this nice brass five-minute timer, and I literally leaned over, grabbed it, and went, go, and put it on my desk just to prove a point.
How'd that work out?
They both kind of stammered, and they looked, and after about 15 seconds of really uncomfortable silence, like if you and I were quiet for 5 seconds.
That's a lifetime.
You know, somebody just tuned in. Somebody just tuned in right now like, hey, why is there dead air? Somebody call Russ Clark. There's dead air.
It's killing me.
But that 15 seconds, I think they both really had that, oh my gosh, there's no way we could do a 15 year. So, okay, let's go back it back to a 30. But that's still a $2,200 payment. Guys, you were paying $1,500 in rent. You're still $700 short.
But from what you explained about the eating out and the coffee, you know, they don't know how much that adds up in a single month, let alone a year.
Most people don't. That's why I still do a one-page budget. Here it is. I mean, I'll leave copies here. I don't care. You can come to my office. I can email them to you. Most people don't know what it adds up to over a 30-year or a 30-day cycle because they're hungry. And they go to the drive-thru. And again, I don't care. Go to every. I've got friends that own restaurants, for crying out loud. But they go get something to eat. They get a coffee on the way.
If you buy a $5 coffee every morning you go to work, what's that in a month?
Well, 5 times 20 working days. Now you're talking about 100 if you only did it
once.
You know,
$100 a week. When you tell people that, they buy a $5 coffee every morning, they have no idea it's $100.
And they don't know. I had a friend of mine that was minimum two a day, one on the way to work, one on the way home from work.
$2,400 a year.
You know, and you stop and you say, okay, look, I don't care if that's what you really want to invest your money in.
It doesn't matter. If it's in your budget and it's your deal, cool. But if you're struggling and you're looking for solutions, like I don't understand why I don't have more money, I need a raise. Or you spend $2,400 on that coffee a year,
and then you say, okay, wait a minute, $2,400 on coffee over 5 years, you got what is that? You know, $12,000. $12,000 is most people a nice used car.
But a lot of people buy based on what's left in the bank at the end of the month.
Yes.
So okay, I got enough money. Let's go ahead and go out. I got enough money. Let's do something.
So one of the things that we did in my office, so. You know, I've got a nice bun commercial coffee maker in the back, and I have some foo-foo caramel vanilla coffee, and I have some regular coffee.
How many people bring in their coffee anyway?
Nobody anymore.
Oh, really?
Nope. And actually, I have one that once a week, she will treat herself to something because she actually goes out with a couple of friends, and they do something for an hour, which I'm cool.
We have it.
Did you hear that? That was awesome right there.
What was that?
That was lightning and thunder.
Oh, I like it.
Either that or your granddaughter just blew up half the building.
I think terrorist was doing something. But we have a cheap Keurig here with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I use that every day. Every day.
And I
don't bring my coffee to work.
Those are great. And guess what? I have a Keurig on the front counter for the customers.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Okay.
I've used
now,
it.
A Keurig coffee
not even
pot.
A customer.
Hey, come on over anytime. I'll even make cookies. What's a Keurig coffee pod
about 50
cost?
Cents,
50 40, cents to a dollar, depending on the foo-foo flavor. So let's use a buck because most of my staff likes the foo-foo stuff.
Really nice stuff.
Yeah. Now, you go make a pot of coffee with the same ground coffee, the same foo-foo stuff, because I bought it, and it actually tastes better through that machine. But now that one pot is about a dollar. So a dollar for a pot that gives you 5 to 6 cups versus a dollar per cup.
Per cup.
Okay, so guys, here's our example, and this is how I'm explaining it in the office. Okay, so basically, now I get six cups of coffee, so 5 more cups of coffee for the same price. Do that in everything you have. Go buy some stuff in bulk. Go buy the big bags of cereal.
The stuff that makes sense.
Go do a little bit more for your personal budget and focus just a little bit more, because most people don't, and I say most people, and, you know, again, Russ, you have a quality of people that listen to the show, that ask really good questions, and I think most of them get it. But we have to start helping the next generation or those coworkers and family and friends that just don't really get it. You know, again, client on Monday said, well, I don't understand why I can only afford this house because my buddy, he's got a house just like this, and that's what I want. Well, my customer who's coming in the office drives a car that probably stickers for $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
His buddy's driving a car that's probably, I mean, it is paid off because I did his loan, but it's probably worth $16,000 to $17,000.
Okay.
So you're right. Your buddy can afford this home. You guys work at the same place because you've got a $1,200 car payment.
Yeah.
And your buddy has no car payment. But people don't see the underneath. They see house, or they see the ducks swimming on the pond, but they don't see how fast they're paddling underneath. Why?
They just do.
But I think we've gotten to the point that it's all about surface level impressions. Like, look, I don't know anything about your finances other than sitting here, right? Mm-hmm. But I could certainly make a guesstimation.
Yeah.
You know, for those that don't know, man,
that my wardrobe budget isn't
big. His hat's kind of dirty.
Yeah.
He's wearing a shirt that says 2011 on it.
It's an older
so
one.
So it's, yeah, you know, it's 11 years old. Dude, this guy's so poor, he can't even afford a shirt for 11 years.
True.
Or you can say, this gentleman is investing in things. And you go back to the Sam Walton. What did Sam Walton drive forever? World famous. His old green pickup truck.
And I'm driving a 26-year-old car right now.
You are. So you're as rich as Sam Walton?
No.
Man, your grandbaby must love you. So, you know, again, going back to a budget thing. My four rules. Home, 3 times your income. Then 6 months worth of savings. Then fully fund your retirement accounts. Then go find 4 or 5 stocks, bonds, mutual funds, something you can continue putting money in. Then go back, just like Monopoly. Monopoly's got 4 sides, right?
That's my checking account balance.
Nice. Now, what does it mean to the customer who's listening when it's in the red?
No, it's not in the red. No, that's my checking account balance. Now, because I don't care that my shirt's 11 years old. I'm comfortable with it.
Which, at the end of the day, is inflation going to kill you off?
No.
No. Is it going to make you tighten your belt in a little bit, you know, in one area or another?
Yes, because I'm going to maintain that that my budget is what I make, or, you know, or less than what I make.
Okay.
And to maintain that, I sold my car. So,
which is fantastic.
I'm driving a company car. I reduced some of my other things. And it's not that I can't write the check. It's that I refuse to go beyond my budget, you know, because my income is not big at all.
So you made a conscious choice
to
be frugal with your budget.
Of course.
I'm going to ask a question. Why?
There's things I want to do. And there's goals to buy property. There's goals to buy things. I can't spend money and still expect to get that done.
So it's whether you want to call it a vision, a dream, a goal, a plan, it's something beyond today.
Sure.
And I know for everybody who doesn't see Russ with his granddaughter and with his family, your granddaughter walks in here and she's like the light of your room, because you go from what people would call RBF right now. And if you don't know what RBF stands for, you can look it up. But you go from RBF to this radiant smile when your granddaughter walks in here. You want to do things for her next week, next month, next year.
Sure.
And that's where, look, guys, if the reason we budget and invest is not for today, it's for tomorrow. And look, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to have a what if to cover all of my what ifs, because you see some of these people that literally are living paycheck to paycheck, but they may be enjoying it.
But of course. That's a personal lifestyle choice.
But
I wouldn't be happy with
it. But are they going to enjoy it when they can no longer work, or something physically happens, or somebody in the family needs some assistance? You know, I know if your daughter needed every dollar out of your checking account right now.
I've already done that before. I'm not doing it again.
Well,
it's happened.
I actually knew that. But you have a way to assist your family if they needed something.
If the hot water tank blows up, I can afford to put a new one in. And a lot of people can't do that. They have to borrow money to put in a new hot water tank. And I don't want to do that. That's why the 6 month salary needs to be there.
So there's box two. You just said there's a valid reason to tap into box two. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to being normal.
Well, you can't, because you have to take a break.
Okay.
And then you can do it.
Hey, this is box two taking a break. This is Money Talk AIM 560 KBLU.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. 8:36 on, again, a humid but gorgeous Friday morning. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, we're talking all things credit and money and mortgage and savings.
How boring
and,
is
I
that?
I know. It all is. It's ones and zeros and silliness, right?
Now, I just told you about Edward, the guy that I know that has been the most successful at amassing assets. He wrote me a little note here, and the first thing he says, budgeting and budget buying is a central part of my lifestyle. Now, what does that say? I mean, that's a guy that's probably one of the more successful guys in the country. That's his lifestyle.
So to me, what it sounds like is it's a tactical process that takes the emotionalness out of it so you make good decisions.
But he's made it a lifestyle. To make those good decisions is a lifestyle for him.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, I have been with him where he gets an improper bill or something's wrong. We'll drive back to a place to get the turnaround, and it could be $5. It doesn't matter, but it's his lifestyle, so he's got to have it right, and it doesn't matter.
And there's a principle to it.
It keeps him on focus on where he's at. It's only as what I can assume, and I'm guessing he didn't tell me that, but I would think that that's his lifestyle, and he subscribes to it.
There's a universal truth there that if you're focused on it, you're going to continue making good decisions all the way around, and you don't get trapped into this salesmanship mentality that so many people get sold something. And look, what is every TV commercial doing? They're selling you on something,
they're creating a need. Is there something where you walk out and you think, I need it now?
I need it now because it's going to give me an emotional feeling one way. It's going to stop something that I want to avoid, this pain. But the budget literally is the most freeing thing I've ever seen, because if at the end of the month I'm one penny more than what I wanted to save, I have permission to spend that penny, or I can go reinvest it somewhere.
I'm gonna read the rest of this to you.
Okay,
that. From a man that has been one of the more successful that I've ever met. He says, people ask, why don't you buy fancier cars, more expensive clothes, and bigger homes, since I can? My answer is always the same. I have what I have because I don't fall for the label marketing and want to remain comfortable. Money comes, money goes, but without a budget, it goes faster and rarely returns. I'd rather see a poor man doing what I want than a rich man struggling to keep up the image.
There you go.
And he lives it. He's a guy that could afford any car on the market, literally. And I can tell you, last time I was with him, it was a 3 or 4 year old Jeep SUV that he doesn't want to trade in. He's comfortable.
I like it.
And he's a guy that, and I've asked him the question. I said, because I too said, hey, there's cars out there, Mercedes, things like that. He says it doesn't even make sense, because those only make sense if you're on Hollywood and you got to pull up in a red carpet and people notice. He says, I don't care about that. I don't do that. And that's, my car goes to the parking lot. No one sees it anyway. So mm-hmm. I drive what I want. That kind of thing. His wife drives a 1999 Hyundai Elantra.
Have you checked it out?
Oh, God, yeah. I've got pictures of it.
No. I just mean, have you given it the full once through?
Oh, no.
Make
it's
sure
a piece of
safe?
Crap. It's trashed.
Well, couldn't
it's got
you,
too many miles
couldn't
on
you
it.
Fix this?
Come no. On. I mean, it's one of those things where you take off the radiator cap and drive a new car under it. it's not fixable. But that's what she wants, and that's their lifestyle, even though they're jet setters.
I believe that everybody's making decisions based on the emotions that they're going to.
What the neighbors are going to think after I buy this.
The fear that they're going away from. And what it sounds like is his emotions take him to, let's be financially responsible and let's make good decisions with the money. And there's pleasure out of those good decisions that then protect the family
And I think he's purposely a rebel. He does what he's comfortable with. He don't care what society does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
Go back to the second customer that I talked about today. That guy, by the way, the rain was nice. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So I'm glad there's no leaks in here. So the good news is we've had the leak. We've passed the leak test.
No leaks yet.
I was waiting to see water dripping on your board and have you start covering things up with plastic. But go back to that second customer who is complaining that he can't buy the same home as his coworker.
Sure.
Why are you even asking me to buy the home similar to your coworker?
How much in our life have we done that? How much have we done?
Oh, I think almost everything I've ever been taught was that. You want to grow up and you want to be like this baseball player. You want to grow up and you want to be like that football player. You want to grow up and be like that attorney, that doctor. And so I think culturally we even do that to our kids. I'm sure I've done it. I mean, I'm probably screwed up my kids. But did you watch the Field of Dreams baseball game last night?
No, I heard about it, yeah.
Okay, got the last inning and a half by the time I got home. Great movie, actually. One of the few times I actually watch TV, I watched the movie last night just to remind myself. But you think, how many times growing up as a kid did you want to be like that baseball player?
Oh, always, yeah.
Always. And how many times do you want to have the pointing to the fence line of Babe Ruth? I want to imitate that guy. Mm-hmm. We all seem to imitate the people that we want to be like.
Sure.
And sometimes the people that you want to be like, you don't even know, like your fact checker.
Yeah.
There's men and women in this world that you want to be like, and you don't even know because you haven't met them yet, but we imitate good, bad, or other. Dennis Rodman. When I say Dennis Rodman, what comes to mind?
That he's obnoxious and married chairs. I don't know, married himself.
Yeah. Okay. Obnoxious,
I know basketball
obnoxious,
player,
bad boy, Chicago Bulls, painted hair, always that. And you think, there were kids that want to emulate him because that was their idol, as opposed to, hey, let's emulate the quiet businessman that's over here that is budgeting and financially protecting his family and doing things out of the spotlight. Like you say, driving a Jeep SUV, driving something.
Well, Edward's the opposite of 15 Minutes of Fame. He pays money to not be noticed. He Google doesn't have anything on him. You can't find him.
And yet you and I are on radio all day long. Maybe we should be more like him.
Oh, he comes in radio all the time, but no one knows who he is, really, you know. But, yeah, he's
so,
the opposite, which is, I think, an interesting role model and a tremendous role model to his family and kids. And they get it.
So I hope your grandkids and your kids, but I hope your grandkids get it. I hope my kids get it. I hope that we can start influencing, because what we were talking about on your show before we came over to mine is, how do we change what's going on in the country?
One at a time.
And you said one at a time.
Yeah.
We got to help our kids, and we got to help our neighbors, and we got to help them. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. I'm sorry. You know, the days of me as a mortgage lender, it like that guy who wants a 15-year mortgage. I can't be the fast food clerk that goes, would you like fries with that? I have to be the fast food clerk that says, dude, you're too fat. You don't need 7 cheeseburgers. You need a salad, kind of a thing. Now, some of those discussions are hard. But your doctor has no problem telling you, hey, you got to stop eating because your cholesterol is going to kill you. Your doctor has no problem going, hey, you need to lose some weight or you're going to die. But we as people don't say those same things to our friends, whether it's weight, whether it's finances, whether it's something else. You know, how many times have you seen people walking in with that $5 cup of coffee and it just doesn't even matter? Because we have to make that change. And so what one of the things that even frustrates me is my kids, they really don't like to spend money. Hey, guys, what do you want to go do? Nothing.
Good. I don't like the nothing, but money.
You know, I like it. And so, you know, my oldest son, his birthday is on the 20th. I'm like, hey, dude, what do you want to go do? Let's do something fun. Do you want to go over to San Diego? Do you want to go to K1 Speed? Do you want to go do something? No, I don't want to do anything. I don't want you to spend any money. Okay, bud, but this is your birthday. Let's do something fun.
A lot to do without money.
And, okay, you want to go play catch out in the backyard? I don't know. Let's do something. But I think they have a good grasp of money, and I've made them do budgets, and I've actually made them, okay, let's pretend you're on minimum wage, full-time, 40 hours a week. I want you to do this same form here. Let's pretend, how much money do you have coming in?
Oh, you actually do that? When did you just start that?
Probably 14.
That's child abuse. Okay, yeah. You got to take a break.
Hey, this is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Good morning, Yuma. Derek Egeberg, Russ Clark, Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. And I have to tell everybody, Russ is going to be tired this afternoon because his granddaughter is on the other side. She is dancing and prancing, and she is waiting for you to get out of this studio.
Don't you worry about me. I am wear her out.
I am going to go buy three Snicker bars and drop off some Cokes to your shop. I am bringing, we're going to bring.
I've been responsible for her like 3 or 4 days in a row, like when my time, it's done. She'll sleep for 2 days.
Yep.
But the thing is to wear her out mentally, not physically.
Oh, you wear people out mentally
exactly.
all day long.
Exactly. Just stop talking, Grandpa.
So tons of things. And what I would tell you, look, if you want a copy of my personal family budget, you can call my office. You can email me. I'm leaving some here with Russ. If you want to have a conversation over a cup of coffee and a cookie, great. Give me a call. I love this stuff because I know we can help people get ahead one person at a time.
Well, and more success in the community, there's more success in the community.
Yeah.
You're
100% right there. And at the same time, this is the stuff that, look, I wish you and I were taught this when we were 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, even though you call it child abuse.
Or maybe when I was younger, like 55, you know.
Well, what was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you look at these things and say, oh my gosh, it's too late. And the answer is no.
No.
But why do people say it's too late? It's not too late.
Because it gives them an excuse.
You know, and
they're looking for a reason to not do it.
And so here's what's interesting. And again, you go back to the time value of money. And I'm the mortgage guy. I'm the credit guy.
Yeah.
But the time value of money, it's just, look, start when you can. Yeah, the best time was previous. But start today because you got a long time to go. And even if you don't have a long time to go, I'd rather be saving and working towards security than not. So whether it's a house, if you don't own a home, is it still a good time to buy a house, Russ?
It's always a good time to buy a house. Yeah, if you need a place to live, it's even better.
Yeah,
you know, but so, there's always something out there that is going to be attractive in some way.
You're either going to pay rent, or a mortgage.
Yeah,
and if you pay rent, you're paying someone else's mortgage. Mm-hmm. Cool. So either way, you're going to pay a mortgage, and the news media is reporting rents nationwide, Arizona wide, is up 30% in a year, which is significantly higher than inflation. You talk about, okay, wait a minute, let me buy a house. Cool. If interest rates happen to go down in the next 2 to 5 years, you refinance the mortgage.
Yes,
but you don't have to change the purchase price of your home.
Right.
If you wait and you're trying to win the lottery and you're going to wait another couple of years, look, the inflation rate is still going to take home prices higher. And I know inflation doesn't directly change home prices, but if you look at every stat out there, whether it's the National Association of Realtors, the Mortgage Bankers Association, every news media outlet has still shown what the projected increase in home values is. Now, they're saying the appreciation rate is slowing, but it's still going up. It's not declining. So if you don't buy a home today, it's going to cost you more tomorrow.
And it could decline. Let's say something happens like when we had the bust and it goes down 20%, something huge. You haven't lost anything. Your payment's exactly the same as it was. It doesn't change. And eventually those markets change. They come back, whatever. And you're still living where you thought you were going to live.
Yeah, you still have to move. You still have to have a house. You still have to have a roof over your head. So, again, it's still a great time to buy. Do I believe interest rates are going to keep marching northwards? Yes. Now,
they're so confusing, everything.
There's emotional responses back and forth. But I do believe that mortgage rates are going to keep marching forward. Now, I don't think they're going to hit where they hit in the late 70s, early 80s. But the last time inflation was running this high, mortgage rates were in the teens.
You think it could get double digits, you think?
Yeah,
I think it could, but double digits, 10?
I don't believe we would ever get that high.
You don't?
Okay. I don't.
I don't know.
But look at what we're getting in our savings accounts. Back when mortgage rates were in the low to mid-teens, you were getting high single digits on your savings account.
Mm-hmm.
You and I aren't making any money on our savings accounts.
Nope.
Inflation is running, whether you say 8.5 now, 9.1 last month, you know, inflation is reducing what your cash is worth. So by the way, that green number in your checking account is becoming worth less.
Oh yeah, it won't stay there. I mean, there are plans.
But buying a home is still a good time to buy a home. Restructuring your debt, making sure your family budget is in a good spot is still a great time to do it. There's still ways to do, whether it's consolidating on a 0% interest rate credit card, maybe it's rearranging your autos. Pay attention to your finances. Quit looking out the window. Quit watching the TV. Look in the mirror. Yeah. And if there was one thing I want everybody to do is, look, I don't care what your neighbor's doing. Look at your own budget. Because you never know who's swimming naked until the tide runs out.
Oh.
And that's, you know, and I'm sorry, if Russ Clark is swimming naked, that is one ugly picture.
It is very bad.
But you never know. Look, you don't know anything about my finances. I don't know anything about yours.
I can make some guesses.
You probably could.
I mean, it's going to resemble what you're talking about, so you're going to be fine.
There you go. But if inflation went to 15%, and I know it's not going to, but if inflation went to 15%, do you have a line item in your budget you can cut to save 15%?
Food.
Well, you could probably get away with that for a little while. You know, again, we have to take care of these what ifs, because it's not just going to continue one way or the other. If it's going up, it's going to come down. If it's going down, it's going to come up. Everything we've ever seen for our entire lifetime is it's cyclical.
Mm-hmm. And we generally the main populace makes the wrong mistakes. You know, they see things going up, they say it's popular, I'm going to buy some.
Mm-hmm.
When it's going down, so, they're selling it.
So, you know, again, there's lots of opportunities. But I will tell you, we live, and I talk to people all over the country. We live in a great area. Yeah. We live in a great state.
Yeah.
Our economy is still doing well here in Arizona. Yeah. We have great opportunities here in Yuma. And the cost of living is good.
The way the economy is, there's going to be pain. Evictions are up. Things are up like that. But it's not going to affect you if you protect yourself.
Protect yourself. But now let's talk about, hey, when there was a moratorium on foreclosures, right? Yeah. What did that do? That kept people in homes longer. Yeah. And from a humanistic perspective, I understand it. But it kept people in homes longer, which means the property taxes are not being paid to the municipalities across the country.
Interest is building up.
It means that the financial institutions that said, here's the rules for the lending criteria, didn't get their money back. And now all of a sudden, the home didn't go back on the market. There wasn't income derived by the handyman that had to fix it, the maintenance crew that had to put a new roof on it, new AC, whatever it is. And it didn't get resold to somebody who's going to start making the payments, who's going to bring wealth back into the community and start paying the property taxes. How many homes nationwide are delinquent on property taxes because the mortgages aren't paid? And if it had been sold, because let's be honest, what's the delinquency rate? Two and a half?
It's not much.
No. You know, a healthy market has to have some foreclosures in it.
Yeah.
If you have zero foreclosures, that means either you're artificially not foreclosing or the banking institution's regulations were too tight, because you can never have a zero defect. There's always going to be somebody who loses their job, health-wise doesn't, you know, can't make it for one reason. And I don't want to see anybody go into foreclosure. But if you have zero foreclosures or that's your expectation, where did you take a chance on that right on the cusp person who really needed the help to get into a mortgage, but you just didn't believe them?
Right.
So if there's no foreclosures, doesn't that mean you are artificially hurting the person who needed the help, which is typically the lower income, more underserved population? Yes, you did. And so all of these things, when you say we want no foreclosures, well, that means you're just not taking a chance on the person who needed the help.
Everybody 50% down.
Well, you know, 50% down. And so there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some foreclosures that needs to get us back to a healthy market nationwide. But you look in Arizona, you have people moving here. Home prices are going to keep going up. You've got a great community. You got a small community that still cares about one another. You've got people who, look, some of my best friends own restaurants. Go patronize the restaurant. Just don't do it breakfast and lunch and dinner 7 days a week, because then I'm going to yell at you for your budget.
And restaurants are busy. Restaurants are packed, a lot of them. I see a lot of... And it's not the prices have come down.
And they need staff. There's a lot of places that need more help.
It's kind of confusing to me to see it happening like that, because savings accounts are going down. People are putting more money on credit cards. and the restaurants are still busy.
They take credit cards.
Well, I know, but I can tell you there's budgets that are being destroyed, and nobody's saying, wow, we're just going to go back to the basics and eat mm-hmm. beans at home. It's not happening.
So give me, is there one big aha you've learned on money and budgeting?
I think we've been working long enough to know I understand it all. But, when you look at a $5 cup of coffee, please annualize it. Just if you look at it, rather than just $5 out of my pocket a day, it won't hurt me. Annualize it.
So Russ Clark advice is annualize your spending. I like it. That's a good golden rule that we could all do. My two are one piece of paper for a budget.
Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. Simple. And number two for me, what has changed a lot for me is I put everything on one credit card, but I pay it off at the end of the month like cash. So I really spend up cash, but now all my expenses are in one spot.
Right.
And I get something for it. So and I get air.
5 seconds.
5 seconds. Thank you to all of our men and women in our military. Thank you for protecting us. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.